I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like self-care.
Spooky things.
And then
self-care. But we like both of
them. Equally.
Equally. They're beautiful. So we like self-care. Sorry, my brain is broken. We were talking about pizza with no cheese, and then it's just
like a whole conversation thing.
So what did you do for self-care this week? Other than mess up our intro.
This week I've been like spring cleaning a whole bunch, so I kind of organized my art room a little bit more.
It's always been good though. Like, I've never been like, oh my god, it's a mess. Like, oh, I don't know.
I feel like it was kind of just like cluttered and crazy, and so I've kind of cleared up most of it. It's not quite done. And then Steven's building me like a desk that'll kind of flip down and fold up when I'm not using it.
That'll be nice.
I'm stoked about that. So once that's done, then I'll feel like, okay, now it's like complete.
Now it's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
What did you do
this week for self-care? We went to this place called A Little Bit Twisted. I had to like think of the name. And I had this like pulled pork sandwich, which has like this blackberry jam on it.
Oh, sounds amazing. We'll
take you there.
Where is it? Is it near your house?
Yeah, it's near our house.
Okay.
And it's got pulled pork on it. It's got like jam. It's got pickles in it.
The pickles.
And it had like spicy barbecue sauce.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh my God. It was so good. Cause it was like, I'd been working out a lot, and like on Thursday I was like, fuck this, I need like a break.
Yeah.
And I'd been like eating pretty clean too. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you know what, I don't give a shit, let's do it. Yeah, so it was kind of like my cheat day.
Nice.
Even though like I'm planning on having pizza in like an hour, but still.
Yeah, you know what, when it's like gross out, like snowed.
What the fuck was that about?
I don't know.
It's like white out straight up, like where I lived. Like, you were like, it's snowing. And I'm like, LOL, probably in the foothills. Like,
why
front
does
range.
It do it every weekend?
It's so annoying. And then during the week, it's like, I'm going to be beautiful Monday through Thursday. And then Friday, it's like, but fuck you though.
Yeah.
Yeah. We planted seeds in the yard, so we're probably going to have to do that again.
I need to plant stuff like, I think I'm going to wait till after Mother's Day.
You have to wait after Memorial Day.
Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because there's snowstorms still. Like after. Yeah. Wait till Memorial Day. I know.
So long. I'm so far away. To like get my garden.
Yeah. Going. Wait till Memorial Day. I'm helping you. You're welcome. Because so many people are like Mother's Day. And then they plant stuff and then it dies because it had the weird like mid-May snowstorm. Yeah. Wait till after Memorial Day and then you're good. That's what we're doing. So.
Nice. Well, what are you going to tell me about?
So I'm going to tell you the story of Kimberly Rico. Let me preface this story. And I don't care if you go by this. If you go by Kimberly and other people are like Kim and you're like, no, Kimberly, you're a sociopath. Nobody goes by the name Kimberly willingly. Mom, are you listening? Dad, are you listening? Family members, listen, because I'm telling you, every person I've dealt with that was unpleasant was like, it's actually Kimberly. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Wait, wasn't the pink Power Ranger Kimberly?
Yeah. But, like, she was playing a character. She wasn't, like, it wasn't real life. So it's fine.
It's fake.
Like, I was like, how am I going to explain myself out of this? Do you think I used that when I was little? Why I got to be the Pink Ranger? I sure did. All the time.
She was cute.
She was super cute. She's still pretty. Like, she's still gorgeous now.
I don't know. Is she, like, acting?
Yeah, but she's, like, not doing a lot. But, like she's still, yeah. It's always the Lifetime movies.
Right.
It's, like, what, Gretchen from Mean Girls and, like, that one chick that was in Full House. Yeah. Oh. She was in, like, Christian Mingle, the movie.
Oh, no. That's a movie? No one needs to know about that.
My ex made me watch that, and he's like, I'm not religious. I'm like, are you sure?
I mean, it's fine.
No, it's not a good movie. It's very much bleh. So, anyways. So, this is the story of Kimberly and Steve Rico, and I just needed to get the preface of, like, if you go by Kimberly instead of Kim, you're crazy, so.
So, does she go by Kimberly?
Yeah.
Oh, she's crazy then.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
People in the story were like, Kim, and I'm like, no. She's Kimberly, and she, like, would write that, and I'm like, she likes Kimberly, so. When people are like Kimberly, I'm like, yeah, legally, but it's Kim. All right. So Kimberly was born in 1965. She was a full-time surgery technician. Steven was born in 1963. And he worked as the like superintendent of a golf course. And they both lived in Maryland. And the two of them were very different personality. Kimberly was super outgoing and bubbly and talkative. It was just extroverted as fuck. And Steven was a bit more quiet and reserved and kept to himself.
Okay.
My relationship. So, anyways, the two of them also had very different childhoods. Kimberly kind of had more of a rough childhood where she was frequently abused. Ooh. And she actually was an advocate for abused children, like, as she was growing up. Okay. And I'm assuming that was due to, like, her upbringing. And Steven had a really good childhood and felt like there was a good family connection growing up. And he was, like, a bigger guy, so he, like, did sports. He, like, played football. He was really just an active kid, and that kind of, you know, was his outlet, was, like, sports and stuff like that.
Okay.
So mutual friends decided to introduce the two of them together. Like, either they would like each other or hate each other, because they were very different. And sometimes
opposites attract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't speak to that enough. And they ended up liking each other a lot. And this happened in 1988. And however, not long after they met, like 5 months, Kimberly became pregnant.
Oh, wow.
And instead of just co-parenting together and figuring out, Steven decided to do the right thing. I'm putting quotes because it's not always the right thing. But in the 80s, it was, you know, the 80s, guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in March of 1989, good year. The two of them became married, and the friends that introduced them were actually best man and maid of honor at their wedding. Aww. Which I thought was, like, that's nice. So the marriage seemed really great, but in all relationships, the cracks started to show. And at 9 years, Steven was in this for the long haul, and he had decided that him and Kimberly really needed a romantic vacation away.
Okay.
And they went to a resort with a murder mystery theater going on. Do you remember when I was like, keep that in the back of your mind?
Oh, yeah.
A few episodes ago. And I think that sounds like fun. And Steven had written in his diary that he kept about how much he loved Kimberly and how he would do anything for her and anything to keep her. And it's slightly important to note that at this point in their marriage, they had not been intimate in a really long while.
Oh.
And he was okay with it as long as, like, they were still love each other. And he was okay with, like, just holding her and, like, loving her. Like, intimacy to him wasn't, like,
just important. Sex.
Yeah, he was, like, he just wanted time. Like, her time.
Sure.
Anyways. So, the night in question went great. They watched the show, and it was called The Bride Who Cried.
Nice.
Which it was described as, like, super campy and stuff like that.
Okay.
And during the show, the two seemed like they were having fun, and they had a few drinks, which they didn't drink very much in their relationship. And that's kind of important to think about, is they didn't drink very much. And okay. They went back to the room. And that's pretty much where the good times ended.
Oh.
According to Kimberly, the two of them got into a fight, and Kimberly was like, fuck this, and left to go hang out with some friends. It's not like they were very far from home.
Oh, okay.
I know, because I'm like, what?
I was like, what? Okay.
Because they're at a resort, you're like, what? Which, you know, weird, because it's a romantic getaway, but whatever.
She was mad at him for whatever reason.
And she had friends in the area, and this was around, like, 10:30, 11, and Kimberly ended up getting lost.
Oh, no.
Which, I'm super grateful right now we're at a time where GPS exists. Because could you imagine, like, before GPS, like, finding someone's house.
Do you remember having to, like, print off your, like, Google directions?
And if you fucked up one turn.
Yeah. You had to, like, go back to like, because I was not good at like just figuring it out. I'd have to be like, oh fuck.
No, there's this theater to the street in Colorado Springs called the Black Sheep Theater. And I had to print out MapQuest directions to go to like a Thrice show. This was my first Thrice show.
Nice.
And this is like back in like 2008, like before it was GPS. And I think back to that night, like me and my friend were like, if we miss one turn, we're fucked. Cause like I didn't know Colorado Springs. But like that's one part that I like think about all the time. But like, how did people get around before then? And because even with GPS, sometimes it's not super clear where you're going.
Or it takes you like the dumbest fucking way. You're like, why would you take me this roundabout way?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Like, no, thank you. I'm pissed off now. And she decides to go back to the hotel. Like, fuck this. I don't know where I'm going. It's nighttime. And at this point, it's around midnight, and she realizes she didn't bring her key card to get back into the hotel.
Oh, shit.
So instead of having to wake Steven up, she decides to climb on the deck and go through the back door of the hotel room because she's like, oh, yeah, we came this way anyway.
Wait, why didn't she just ask the fucking front desk?
It's fine, because I wondered the same thing. Okay. But
like, it's not hard.
You'll figure out, too. But that's her story, and she's sticking to it.
Okay.
And while she's doing this, she notices smoke coming from the room.
What?
And calmly, and it's everyone calmly. Said it was too calmly, walks to the lobby of the hotel and also calmly says, I think my room is on fire.
Walks?
Yeah.
Girl, why aren't you running?
Yeah, why wouldn't you run? Your hotel room's on fire. You know, your husband's in there. And they ask if anyone is inside, and she says her husband is. They ask her some more questions, and she tells them that her husband got sloppy drunk, and they got into a fight because he wanted to have sex, and she did not.
Okay.
Keep in mind, the diary entries I was telling you about didn't say
his
that.
Love language was not touch.
Yeah,
it was quality time.
Yeah. And she got pissed off and decided to leave, and that's why she wasn't there.
Okay.
So, according to her, this weekend was about repairing the relationship, and having sex was not part of that.
Okay.
Which, I don't know about you, but when I go on a romantic getaway, I don't think talking is the only thing on my mind.
Sorry, sex is like, we're doing that immediately.
Yeah, I don't.
You know?
What's a romantic getaway without a little...
Without some fun times.
Bumping and grinding.
Yeah.
The naked variety. I don't know.
It doesn't sound like she was really even like willing to repair it either.
The therapist said that we needed to not have sex and just focus on like our relationship.
And
like, I guarantee the therapist did not say that, but okay. I don't know what was going on in their relationship. I can't speak to their relationship, but anyways, I just think it's weird. And
her leaving doesn't speak to her trying to repair the relationship.
And she tells them about how she went to see her friends, and then she came back and because she was lost and all that. But by the time they come back to the room, it looks like the fire has pretty much ended, and there wasn't that much damage. The most damage was done to the pillow Steven was laying on and his body.
Of course.
And there was an open pack of cigars on the nightstand and a few beer cans.
I feel like I've heard this. Is this like a, like, cry? What is it? It's, what's the one where they do the DNA?
Why am I all so of the cases today?
Forensic Files.
Yeah, there's the Forensic Files.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've seen this on Forensic Files.
But anyone would look at this and come to the conclusion that it was an accidental death. Like he was smoking a cigar, fell asleep, and a fire happened in the room.
I'm sorry. Like even if like a cherry from your cigar like landed on you like while you're sleeping, it's not gonna just like ignite.
But they didn't have much to go on. So they're accidental death.
It's not going to just like fully be like flames everywhere. Like,
wait, you don't explode into flames. I've done it so many times. Like, I'm like, this is ridiculous.
It'd probably like burn a hole in like the comforter and then go out, you know?
But I'm just saying like by first glance, it's an accident.
Well, they're dumb.
So an autopsy is performed though.
Oh God.
But just to see what the cause because he had also been drinking, according to his wife.
Right, so, like, what's the sitch?
Do you know what they find?
Smoke in his lungs?
They find no alcohol in his system.
Ugh!
And there would have been a lot because they had been listening to Kimberly. And there was
drunk.
No, there was, like, also no signs of smoke inhalation. And you and me have been doing this long enough where we know that if there's no smoke inhalation, it means they were not breathing by the time a fire happened.
Right.
So he's pretty much burning alive.
Okay.
So, or not alive.
Whoever he was already dead.
Yeah. So the cops wanted to know where the beers and scars came from, especially since it was proved Stephen hadn't partaken in any of that. And they were able to trace them back to the store. And Kimberly was the one to purchase them. The cashier remembered Kimberly.
Because she sucks.
Because she complimented her hair and Kimberly was like rude to the cashier. She's like, this is my natural hair color.
Oh my God, what a bitch.
Like, I would remember that too. If somebody was rude to me, I'd be like, oh, that bitch, I remember her.
Also, two beers. Like, that's not sloppy drunk. Sorry.
Well, this is just the story she's telling.
Yeah.
Like, you'll find out more information. So, it's possible Kimberly just bought this for the weekend because they were hanging out, but it was good to know that she was the one who purchased it.
Right.
So, investigators thought this whole thing was suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
So, they decided to find out more information about the couple through friends and coworkers, and interestingly enough, friends that had said that Stephen had never smoked cigarettes nor cigars. And sometimes would use chew and that's it. And that was very sometimes when he was drinking.
Okay.
So, you know, because people are like, oh, I only smoke when I drink. He chewed when he drank. So that alone, if you're not smoking when you're drinking.
Yeah. Then you're not smoking at all.
Yeah. And they found out that this was the last ditch effort by Stephen to save his failing marriage.
Mm.
And Kimberly had asked for a divorce and he was like, please no. Please no. Shit. I don't want that. I don't want that. You know. Begged her for like a last chance.
Yeah.
So turns out they had some interesting info from Kimberly's coworker Ken.
Oh, Ken, spill the tea.
Remember when Keith was called Kenneth?
Yeah.
It still makes me laugh. I was like, oh, interesting. He had told people that she had said that he should help kill her husband.
Oh!
And he laughed.
Because like, what a funny jape.
Thinking she was kidding. But noticed her face was completely serious.
He's like, you're joking, right? He still, at this point,
was like, what the fuck? But, like, told her, trying to, like, lighten the situation, because what a weird situation to be in.
Yeah, totally.
That she could just drug him, which, that's a weird joke, but a weird situation she put him in.
Yeah.
And at work, they use something called sexy Nicoline. It's hard to pronounce. I had to, like, put, like, it phonetically. This would render people unable to move because she worked for a surgery technician.
Oh, okay.
Keep in mind.
Right.
Okay. And investigators asked him why she would ask him, and he told them that she offered him $50,000 and that she had offered it to him, and he assumed, this was his assumption, that she said it to him.
Yeah.
Because she knew he was living in an old trailer and he probably needed the money.
Okay.
So he's like, well, she probably asked me because A, B, and C.
Yeah.
And which makes sense that he would assume that's the reason why. So even weirder story, her coworker, Rachel, was called in the middle of the night once, and Kimberly told her that she needed to come over and help her with something.
What?
So, and Rachel and her were really close coworkers. Oh, okay. So Rachel came over and Kimberly basically said, I need to drug him and light him on fire. And Rachel was like, what the fuck? No, that's insane. You shouldn't do this. You know all the things you say when, like, a friend tells, like, you that they're going to kill their husband.
Get a divorce.
And Kimberly is like, there's no other options.
I think there's several options.
And then she excuses herself to the bathroom upstairs. And she was up there for a while. Rachel was like, what the fuck do I do? So she goes upstairs, like, where are you? And she sees Kimberly standing in the middle of her room, staring at Stephen.
Wait, I thought she went over to Rachel's house.
No, Rachel came over to her house.
Oh, okay.
Rachel didn't know that he was even home.
Oh, God. She's, like, planning this while he's home?
Yeah.
He could, like, overhear you.
That's what I'm saying. And Rachel was like, what a weird situation she put her friend in. Yeah, so she called just, like, Rachel over in the middle of the night.
Like, what a creep. Oh, my God.
While he's sleeping.
What the fuck?
And it was at this point she had told two people she wanted to kill her husband.
Yeah, girl.
Baby girl, shut your mouth.
What are you doing?
This is going to shock you. So, like, hold on to your pants.
Okay.
Hold on to your pants.
Hold on to your butt.
She was having an affair.
No.
What? He was a 22-year-old named Brad.
Brad?
And she said that sex with him was so much better than with Steven. and she felt a deeper connection with him. She even wrote him love letters. Oh, God. She had met him in 1996 at a Halloween party she had attended with Steven.
Oh, what?
Uh-huh.
So rude.
Right? So he knew she was married. I'm not putting the blame on him because, like, she ultimately is...
He's 22. Like, yeah. He's like a child.
And what was the other motive, Danae? What do you think the other motive was?
Life insurance.
Life insurance, because for some reason I fucking pick these stories.
Life insurance.
Life insurance. $400,000. And in the that's a lot now, but in the 90s, that was
a lot.
A lot. So, they had to prove that she did it. So investigators took a cigar and they took the same pillow and sheets that were in the room and they actually tried to light it on fire. But just dropping the cigar, and what they found out is that they were not able to light anything on fire.
Thank
it would
you.
Just go out.
Thank you.
Yeah. And they were just, I think they were pretty, like, I like that they did that. Like, they at least took the initiative.
It's not just going to, like, blow up.
Yeah. But they were, like, putting the cigar, they were even, like, holding. And fun fact, cigars, like, never actually go on fire. They're just, like, they're lit. Yeah. But they're not, like, going.
It's a cherry. Like.
Yeah.
It's not, like. A flame,
but it would just go out when they dropped it. Yeah, it would create, like, some damage. Like,
burn
it's gonna
the bedspread, but it's
gonna
not
burn
gonna
the,
like,
sheets,
engulf you in flames.
It's
and
not
kill
going
you.
Up in flames, and, like, hotels do that purposefully because
yeah.
people make stupid decisions in hotels.
It's not their property; they don't give a shit.
People are gross when they go to hotels.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would never bring a UV light to a hotel.
Oh, no.
I don't want
to
know.
I try not to think about it.
Semen everywhere.
Just, like, on the ceiling and shit.
Right. So, yeah, it would create damage, but it wasn't, like, catching. And if he unintentionally was smoking a cigar and it fell out of his mouth and started a fire, they wanted definitive proof that it wouldn't have happened. And they did many tests and found out that the cigar, and they would, like, even light it and quickly, like, touch it to the...
Yeah, there's no way.
Everything. Yeah. And they just were like, this doesn't catch. And clearly these are flame retardant. So, yeah.
Nice.
And if you know anything
try,
about cigars,
Kimberly.
They don't smoke. And right? Fucking Kimberly. And if you don't continue smoking the cigar, it goes out.
Yeah.
And you have to relight it.
Right.
And they wondered if she used an accelerant, but they didn't find the evidence it could have evaporated as well.
Because
accelerant, like, is alcohol-based
yeah.
most of the time. So, and that shit can, like, disintegrate.
Yeah.
So, they tried to find an injection site where she could have given him C-sinolcholine and sexinolcholine. Sorry. Maybe he was too burned, but again, they had a hard time finding where the injection is. But it could have been in a spot where you're not usually injected. Like, could have been injected into his dick. Like, because typically, like, they're looking at, like, injection
arms.
Sites. Like, arms.
Yeah.
You know, like, where there's, like, things in,
like
the neck.
Veins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, it's another veiny spot.
Your dick.
Yeah.
No,
like,
way.
That's kind of smart if she did that, if you think about it.
But
yeah.
How did she inject him with him being awake?
She could have been like, let's have sex. And then.
And then just, like, quick poke?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
But that's, like, what investigators were like. That's probably what she did. Because, like, the regular injection sites were, like, it was burned. So for this case, they did have to rely on what coworkers had said because he did die in the manner that she had stated.
Yeah, she specifically said.
But just because someone says that's what happened,
yeah,
they still have to prove that it did happen. And something that's really sad is one of the witnesses talked about how Kim read her one of the love letters that Steven had written her, Kimberly. And the friend thought that it was really sweet. And, like, romantic. And Kimberly was like, it was gross. I think
Sorry.
He's pathetic. I don't like him. Which.
Just get a divorce.
I think that's, like, the saddest thing in the world. Like, finding out that your wife was like, you're pathetic and that's embarrassing. Like, that's.
Yeah.
That's really sad.
Not good.
Yeah. So. Bring her alibi into this. She said she went to a friend's house.
Right.
She wasn't even at the hotel. I wasn't even there.
I wasn't there when he was burned to death and died because of his two beers that he drank.
She was trying to hang out with her friends.
Oh my God, what a dumb idiot.
So, yeah, her alibi was that she was trying to find a friend's house, all that. She wasn't even at the hotel. And she said that she was stopping and asking for directions. Mm-hmm. However, she wasn't calling her friend and asking for directions.
Yeah, wouldn't that be like the first person you call?
That's number one.
How
who
do
I
get
call.
To your house?
Help me, please. I'm scared. And anyone she asked for directions didn't come forward and say, yeah, I saw her. She was asking for directions at our gas station.
Oh my gosh. She's such a liar.
Yeah. And she said, this part gets me. She's like, they're like, why didn't you call your friend? She's like, well, I didn't call my friend because I didn't want to wake her up.
Oh, I thought you were going to hang out.
Okay.
So she's sleeping and you're going to go over there when she's sleeping?
You're not going to call your friend. But you're going over because...
Won't she wake up when you come over?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So she's like, well, I didn't want to wake her up. And they're like...
Huh?
Yeah, they were, I'm sure they were like, I don't.
Girl, you're not making sense.
Yeah, so she's like, I just didn't want to wake her up. And it's like, well, aren't you coming over to her house? So, do you like how I had to like put my phone down because I was like, I need my hands to like.
Be like, what?
Yeah. Anyways, so remember how she told the investigator he was absolutely drunk out of his mind and they found no alcohol in his system?
Yeah.
When they did the autopsy, well, they also were like, you know, maybe something weird was going on. So they looked at their bar tab, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they went to, because they went to that murder mystery show, which
they have like two drinks
sometimes
each.
I don't try to reenact shows after I watch them. No, they found a bar tab of $5.
$5?
That's a drink. Maybe two if it's like a crazy deal night and everyone's getting fucked up. That's not enough to get fucked up
That's not sloppy drunk.
That's not sloppy drunk. Sorry. That's one drink. Maybe two. Because it's the 90s. So,
yeah.
You know, inflation's fucking us all up. But yeah. So it was $5. And that doesn't make any sense.
No.
So remember also when we were talking earlier about Rachel coming over and having that conversation with Kimberly. And it was really fucking awkward.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she called Rachel again to tell the plan about how she was going to paralyze him using one of the drugs and she was going to set the curtains on fire or the carpet, something, and he would die of smoke inhalation. Like, girl, stop talking about your plan. Your friends don't give a shit.
Yeah, what?
Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And Rachel did call investigators after she heard of Steven's death.
Okay, good.
I kind of wish... And, like, you know, I'm not in this situation. I haven't been in this situation. But I wish, like, if just somebody said something. Like, Ken, you could have said something and stopped this, maybe. Or helped, like, stop it. Or Rachel.
Yeah. But, like...
But they only came forward after he had died.
Yeah. I mean, they're probably just thinking she's mad and she's, like, just being dramatic, you know? Like...
Yeah.
Like, who's really thinking, like, oh, yeah, she's definitely going to kill him, you know?
Yeah. I mean
even though it sounds like she's kind of, like, literally planning it out. That's hard.
But he did die in the manner, she said. So you got to keep that in mind, too. So it did take a few months, though, after the murder for Kimberly to finally get arrested. So it was probably around, like, May or June when she got arrested because this was around Valentine's Day.
Okay.
So around nowish,
she got arrested
and the trial went pretty smoothly. The jury deliberated for 4 hours and she was given first degree arson and first degree murder. And basically this case just rested on witness testimonies and a lot of circumstantial evidence.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So what like actual physical evidence did they have?
It was the people proving that she had talked to them and told her her plan. Because clearly this was planned out.
Right.
So this was just like heavily relied on witness testimonies of like Rachel and Ken.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because anyone could just say that. Usually not that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And because again, they did not find solid proof, but she said how she was going to murder him multiple times. And that's exactly how he died. And a lot of people's like stories matched up.
Okay.
So that was, but... there's just enough. There's so much circumstantial evidence. It was like upsettingly, like, people would have been like, if you didn't charge her with something, it would have been like, really? So she was given a life sentence for the murder and an additional 30 years for the arson. So I don't think she'll be walking out of prison anytime soon.
No. And do you know if they, like, found that, like, the drug that she was using, like, was there any, like, amount missing from her work or something?
They weren't able to figure that out. Okay. And I just, because I think with surgery, because you're not supposed to move or even be, like, awake.
Yeah.
So they probably use so much that it would be kind of hard to, like,
to track.
Yeah.
Huh.
Especially, like, in the 90s, because nowadays that would be so easy to track. But, like, I think at that time, it just wasn't
a thing. Yeah.
But yeah.
That's crazy. Just get a divorce.
Get a divorce and also, like,
grow up.
Well, she was also having an affair and she was so in love with her affair partner. But, like, he was not that much into it. Yeah. We've all been into a guy and he's not that into you and you're, like, aware of it, but you secretly are like, but maybe he's just thinking about me and you're like, he's not.
He's not.
He's not. He's 22.
He's not thinking.
And his name's Brad. So,
Brad.
A, B, and C. Wow. Yeah.
People.
So that's the story of Kimberly Rico. It's a crazy story. It's insane.
That's so sad.
You know.
And they had a son, right? Or a child?
They had a daughter.
Oh, daughter.
I had to, like, think.
That's horrible.
Like, yeah.
Because now it's like your kid loses one parent because they're dead, but they're also losing the second parent because you murdered her dad. Like, what?
Just get a divorce. I hate that people are like, it's not that easy. I'm like, it is that easy.
It really is.
It is that easy.
It's easier than coming up with a plan to murder your spouse.
But, like, how sad is it that Steven just really wanted just time with her?
And to, like, make it work.
Yeah, like, whether it was for the kid or not, like, it's just get a fucking divorce.
Yeah. Call it.
It's okay to, like, it's
totally fine. Call it, and then you can, like, you know, marry your 22-year-old lover.
Even though he's 22 and he definitely doesn't want to get married.
he doesn't even know. Ew, I don't want
any part of that. Thanks.
Okay. Well, we will post all the pictures of victim and
on Kimberly Instagram.
On Instagram, you can hit us up with any stories of your own or any suggestions that you want us to do.
Both of these are Mysterious Mavens Pod. One's at Gmail. That's the email. But yeah, Mysterious Mavens Pod on Instagram, and we also have a Facebook and a TikTok. And yeah, just follow us.
Give us a follow. Give us a like.
And if you don't like us, don't listen. Simple as that. Give us reviews. We're trying to get up there in the rankings.
All right, friends. Until next time, self-care
for yourself. Do it. Do it. Do it.
All right.
Okay. Bye.